Blog Talk Radio.
From all over the globe, I am Kathy Holloway Hill, and I will be your host for the next 30 minutes here on another powerful episode of the Living by Design show. We have a very special guest for you this evening, and if you've been keeping up with our Design My Life series, you are really going to enjoy this show tonight because we have none other than the Mr. Chicken Soup for the Soul guy himself, the guru, the author of a brand new book, The Success Principles, and I am so excited and happy to bring on the line. I am not going to delay because I am so excited and anxious to get this conversation going, and I am going to bring on the line and welcome to the show Mr. Jack Canfield. Jack, how are you doing this evening?
I am thrilled. I'm happy to be with you, Kathy.
I am absolutely happy to have you here on the show, Jack. Now, I know you have had an absolutely amazing career, and you have touched millions of lives, and I know you're going to touch millions of lives for my listeners, and I am so excited to talk about some of the things you're doing. So I know there's a lot going on with you, so why don't you just kind of start off by telling our listeners some of the things that you have going on?
Oh, gosh, so many things. I'm traveling all over the world. I just came back from a tour of the Middle East where I went to Oman, Bahrain, Kuwait, Dubai, India. Really had a fun time teaching these principles to groups of about 800 to 1,000 people in each of those countries. I have a summer training coming up that I only do once a year called Breakthrough to Success in August. I am running the Transformational Leadership Council. I'm working on 5 new books, and I just have my first grandson born 2 months ago. So it's a very busy life.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. We know now family is at the top of the list when it comes to prioritizing. So that's so wonderful. Congratulations on that.
Thank you.
Now, Jack, I know you are absolutely a champion for change, and you have had so much experience in that area. And we're actually in the midst of my Design My Life series, and we're in the midst of talking about change and becoming a change champion and overcoming the challenges that change brings to our lives. So could you please just share with our listeners some of your personal experience with change?
Well, I've had to change quite a bit. I moved 6 times by the time I was 18. My parents had moved 6 times. So every time I would make friends in an elementary school or a middle school or a high school, eventually I'd have to leave them and start over again, and lived in 3 or 4 different cities. So there was a lot of change there. And then I got sent away to military school, not because I was bad, just because it was better education. And I was a poor to middle-class kid. My aunt helped pay for it because she had a son named Jack who was killed in an automobile accident, and she kind of adopted me as his namesake. All of a sudden, I find myself among the wealthy, and that was a total shift for me. And then I ended up getting a scholarship to go to Harvard, and I had friends with names like Larry Rockefeller and Max Factor III and John Hopkins IV, and I went there to be a lawyer, and then I took a course my senior year called Social Relations 10, and I realized I really want to be a psychologist. So I had to change my major, went to the University of Chicago, discovered that I wanted to be a high school teacher at that point in time, taught in an all-black school, which was a huge change for me because I had not grown up around African-Americans. Then I went to work at a Job Corps Center in Iowa, came back to Chicago, worked for W. Clement Stone, who was a self-made multimillionaire who was a friend of Napoleon Hill, who wrote Think and Grow Rich. And, you know, I could go on, but it's like I've been married and divorced twice. I'm in my third marriage. The first one was very short. Second was long. This one's 15 years. Those were huge changes for me. And then I was working for a big training company doing workshops for 300 and 400 people And I realized that the leader was a cult leader at some point. I said, I can't keep supporting this. So all of a sudden, out of my own, I had $10,000 from my grandmother and that she lent me. And I started my own company, which was a huge change. And I managed to grow that from myself in the kitchen with one typewriter on a hollow core door on two file cabinets to now we have, a three-acre property with 12 staff on site and more staff working off-site and running around the world, running trainings, and now published 220 chicken soup books that have sold 500 million copies around the world. So change just keeps on happening, and you either have to cooperate with it or you get dragged through it, and then it hurts. You get your knee skinned.
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, I'm glad you just said what you that last statement, because I want to ask you, why do you believe change is so difficult for most people? Because as you just stated, you went through a lot of changes from childhood all the way up to becoming the successful person you are today. So if people want success, so why do they have such a difficult time accepting the fact that you have to change in order to have something that you never had?
Well, we always say if you want something you've never had, you have to do something you've never done. And whether
right. That,
you know, be more open in a relationship, or whether that's work harder on your career or practice more on your musical instrument or your sport, whatever it might be, it requires something different. I always say if what you're currently doing was enough to get you what you want would have already showed up. And so we've got to change our thinking. We've got to change how we relate to our emotions. We have to change our behaviors. We have to change lots of things. Sometimes we have to change where we live. I mean, I grew up in West Virginia where people could see that coal was not going to be the main source of energy anymore, and yet nobody went and got reeducated. So all of a sudden when that happened, there was a huge unemployment, everyone felt like, well, the government's supposed to take care of me. Well, they had yellow alerts. They could see the change coming. It's kind of like being on the shore watching a tsunami come in. You're supposed to run for the hills. And the reason people don't do that is we're mired in habit. You know, literally right now, if listeners can do this, some of you can't because you may be holding a phone or whatever, but if you have the capacity and you're not gripping your automobile steering wheel, just fold your hands. And when you fold your hands, notice which thumb is on top. And then go ahead and unfold your hands and refold them, putting all the fingers up one notch so the other thumb ends up on top. Don't just move the thumbs, but move all the fingers. And if you do that, I ask people, how does that feel? And they always say, uncomfortable, weird, yucky, wrong, strange. And I say, what do you want to do? And they say, I want to go back to the way it was before. And I say, okay, do that. And then they go, relief, it's comfortable again. So we get caught in our comfort zone because all change is by its very nature going to be uncomfortable. Not so bad that you're like frozen, like, you know, fight or flight and fear and all that. But basically, when you learn to ride a bicycle, that's a change. And it's awkward at first.
Right.
You learn to drive a car. It's awkward at first. You go skydiving. It's very awkward and uncomfortable. And after a while, it's like, wow, I can't wait to jump out of the plane. It's a great adrenaline rush. So we have to be willing to move through that awkward, uncomfortable stage and let ourselves be out of control a little bit, not knowing what the future is bringing. But we do know it will bring something different than what you've been getting in the past. Does it always bring something better? Sometimes no. It's an experiment. Then you just keep changing until you get what you want.
Right, absolutely. And what do you think causes us to stay stuck in our comfort zone? I mean, I know we're creatures of habit. I get it. I recently wrote a book entitled Lies, Love, and Life, and it talks about how we get caught up in the toxic self-talk, and
mm-hmm.
that toxic self-talk can just totally destroy our opportunities for success because we can't face what is causing us to be held back. And if we could just face it, allow it to come to the surface and deal with it and stop putting on that mask, because when you put on that mask, now you're trying to conceal what really needs to be healed.
That's right. You know, one of the exercises I do when I do my live trainings is I'll have people think of something, and people listening along can kind of begin to do this a little bit on as we're doing the show, if you like, but ask people to close their eyes and think about something in their life that they've been wanting to manifest and create but have not been able to do it. It could be relationship, a good job, financial income, becoming a millionaire, getting more gigs as a speaker, whatever it might be. And then I ask them to notice, if you scan from your head to your foot, what is the feeling you feel when you think about this thing that you can't manifest? And invariably, there's some tension or some pain or some stuck energy somewhere that people can feel. It might be a band across the shoulders. And I'll ask them to really get in touch with that. And then to go back to the earliest time they can remember feeling that same feeling and that same sensation in their body. Almost everyone, Kathy, goes back to between when they were 3 and 8 years old, has a very clear memory of something that happened that has kept them stuck in their life the way it is. And so when we go back and we see that, then we can teach, I literally have them talk from their current adult self to this little wounded child who decided, I'm not attractive, I don't deserve well, I have to work
right.
too hard, whatever it might be, and then give them some advice. It actually heals this inner child. That negative self-talk starts to stop. And then I have them go into the future, become their 85-year-old self, and speak to their current age person that's sitting in the chair and give that person advice from the wise place in you that we all can access simply by imagining we're older. And what happens is we have people that literally lifetimes of fear, stupid decisions they made. Like I had one guy found out he had made a decision. He didn't go quite that far back, but he made a decision when he was 18 that he had gotten a job. He'd made more money than his father. He showed his father his first check. His father was crestfallen because his father felt bad that his son could make more money at 18 than he was making at 45. And he said, I'll never make more money than my father. Now, he made that decision when he was 18. I'm working with his 40, and he was able to unmake that decision. And the next year, 5 times his income. So that's the kind of thing that starts
wow.
happening when we go back. I'll tell you one more story. I had a woman I was coaching by phone from England, and she was mm-hmm. a workaholic to the max. And she called me wanting to get more effective and be more productive. I said, I don't think that's the problem. You need to look at why you're such a workaholic. So we did the process I just told you. She went back to she was 5 years old, and her father, during a recession in London, said, I don't think we can feed all the children. He said that to his wife, just being frustrated. And the little girl decided, well, I'm going to be one of the ones he feeds, so I'm going to work hard, get A's in school, go off for all the extracurricular activities, keep my room clean, you know, learn an instrument. I want to be one he feeds. Here she was, 40, still operating off this decision she made when she was 5 years old that she had to outperform everybody or literally she would die. So that's what's running
wow.
us. We can let go of that so easily and so quickly.
That is such a profound comment. Now, and I love the stories, and I also love what you said about the energy, because I believe energy, because when energy gets stuck, that's when we get stagnant. And mm-hmm. I believe emotions are energy in motion. So when we can allow those emotions, like you said, things from our past, things that we haven't dealt with, because what you don't deal with will deal with you. And if we can allow that energy to just come to the surface, it should be coming and moving. It should be moving through us all the time, not get stuck down in there. So when we allow that energy to keep going in motion, we can get it out of there and move to the next level in our lives.
That's so true. I totally agree with everything you just said. And one of the things that happens for us is we tend as human beings to want to hold on to what we call good feelings and push away what we label as bad feelings, sadness, anger,
right.
fear, etc. But all of those feelings are natural. Some of them we're creating with negative thinking, but most of them are just natural feelings we need to have. And I always tell people, if you don't go to the bathroom for days on end, what happens? They say, well, eventually you'll die. And the same thing is true with your emotions. We need to express them. They need to come out of our body. And the word express is like exit. We need to press them out into the world and let them flow through us, as you said. What
mm-hmm.
happens when you don't do that? You press down on them. You depress your emotions. You become depressed. And so basically,
mm-hmm.
if we allow ourselves to let go of the anger, the fear, the judgments, just let them be, express them, and then what happens is we then get back to a place of pure centered awareness where we make the best decisions. We get up into what the neuroscientists have showed us is the frontal lobe of the brain. When we're angry and sad and depressed, we're back in the back part of the brain, which does not think as well. It's more of a reptilian that acts like a snake. We want to act like humans. So that's the human part of the brain that has evolved over time that allows us to be spiritual and make rational, intelligent decisions. But if we're repressing our emotions, that floods in and gets in the way of making these kind of intelligent, centered,
Exactly.
Divinely inspired.
And Jack, I believe that the first 30 minutes of our day sets the tone for the entire day, because if you wake up in the morning, oh, I don't want to go to work, oh, I hate my coworkers, I hate my job, and I hate my boss, if you wake up with those thoughts, then you're setting the stage for that toxic and negative self-talk and the toxic and negative energy.
I agree. That's why I teach something called the Hour of Power. I recommend every morning people do 20 minutes of meditation, 20 minutes
yes.
of reading something inspiring and uplifting, and then 20 minutes of exercise, with which you can also be listening to uplifting CDs or uplifting music. There's wonderful music out there with great lyrics. And so you set the tone for the day. Affirmations, visualization, all of that is how you – it's kind of like programming the GPS in your car. If you want your car to go where you want it to go, which is have a great day, be successful, all that, then if you spend some time in the morning being grateful, have a gratitude exercise, do your meditation, do your visualization, do some exercise, do some inspiration. And everyone I meet always says, well, I don't have an hour a day. Well, I bet you do. The average American is watching 3 to 4 hours of television a day, surfing the Internet for a day, you know, being on social media sites for an hour a day. So we have that time. It's just a matter of how you choose to use it.
Absolutely agree 100%. And, you know, the other thing is people tend to own the problems of others, and it affects them from moving forward in their own lives. And how would you recommend and suggest that they avoid owning the problems of others? And I know it's natural because you love people, your loved ones, your family, but you can't help someone who is not ready to help themselves.
That's right. You know, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. The teacher appears when
right.
the student's ready. All of those old sayings are not by accident. And, you know, obviously if someone is seeking help, give them all the help that you can afford to give. And sometimes they'll want more than you have time for, so you have to have boundaries. But the main thing is to realize that I take the position that we're all 100% responsible for our lives. And that if everyone took 100% responsibility for their lives, then what would happen is the whole world would work. The problem is we tend to be blamers and complainers, which has kind of been how we've been acculturated, you know, growing up in our family. Our parents did it. We saw them do it. They do it on the media. Everyone says, no, it was his fault, not my fault. But the fact is, when you do that, you always end up being a victim. When you take responsibility, which is the first chapter of my book, The Success Principles, says take 100% responsibility for your life and your results. Act as if you create, promote, and allow everything that happens in your life. Now, you may not. If a tsunami hits the Middle East, I'm not sure people created that. You know, who knows if there's a drive-by shooting if you created that. Some people would argue you did. But if you act as if you created everything, if you got fired, you could say, how did I create that? Well, I came to work late. I sassed the boss. I told people I'd never wanted to put in overtime. And if your wife leaves you, then, you know, maybe you weren't coming home on time. You weren't listening to her. You're watching too much football. Whatever it is, if we look back and say, well, what did I do? Then at least the next time we can avoid doing it in the future so we can start creating more of what we want.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I know you have just been an amazing influence on millions, just millions of people, and your books and your teachings have just been phenomenal. I know I have read pretty much every Chicken Soup of the Soul book that there is, and I just think they are so helpful in transforming lives. And in your teachings and in your travels and in your work, what have you observed as the common denominator or denominators for overall life success in people accomplishing their goals?
Well, I think the first thing is what we just talked about, taking 100% responsibility. People that do that are like halfway there. The other thing
okay.
is when people are clear about what their purpose is. You know, I believe everyone's born with a specific life purpose that's actually understandable. We can get in touch with what that is. And then if we set goals for accomplishing that purpose, whether it's to inspire people like I do through Chicken Soup, or to empower people like you do through your radio show, or to develop beautiful homes for people like architects and contractors do, whatever that is, we're going to feel fulfilled and happy. If you're not happy, it means that you're not pursuing the fulfillment of your vision and your purpose. And then we want to create specific measurable goals. People that create goals, we've heard this statistic over and over, between 3 and 4% of the people own 90% of the world. And those people are all goal setters. Well, the research shows that. We call it the 3% club, the 4% club. And so setting specific measurable goals is really critical. And then believing in your ability to achieve those goals is really important. And then having an action plan. I see people, you know, say, well, I want to own a salon someday. I go, well, great. What are you doing to make that happen? Nothing. But do you have a plan? No. Now, and I'll say, well, why not? They go, well, I don't know what you have to do to own your own hair salon. And I say, I have a radical idea. Go find someone who owns a hair salon and ask them how they did it. They go, whoa, that's really cool. So you have to have a step-by-step action plan. Now, will all those steps happen in exactly the order? No. You may end up on a totally different vector because the law of attraction may come in and take you on a different path, but it's going to take you to where you want to go. And so it's not to get attached to your plan, but a plan at least gives you the first action steps to start taking. And the final things I've seen with people that are really super successful is they're open to feedback, meaning they're open to what's not working. They ask people, on a scale of 1 to 10, how would you rate the quality of my seminar, my book, me as a father, me as a teacher? Most people are afraid to do that because they don't want to hear the feedback. But you can't get better without feedback. I always tell people, if you went bowling and you threw the ball down the lane and it went under a blanket and then you heard a lot of noise and the ball came back, how long would that be interesting? The answer is none, because you can't see how many pins you knocked down. There's no feedback. You can't get better. We'd like to improve. And then finally, perseverance. We have to persevere through rejection. I don't know anyone who's been super successful who hasn't failed 2, 3, 4 times. You know, novelists say that they have to write normally 3 books before they write a bestseller. Businesses, I know most business people, they bankrupt 1 or 2 businesses before they build one that really works. Hopefully we don't do that with our children. We hope the first one turns out well as the second and third one. But we get better as we do it as parents. And finally, people that are part of a team, people that are willing to ask for help, people that create teams around them of accountants and advisors and coaches and mentors. They take seminars. They read books. They don't try to do it alone. And I would say those are the main things I've noticed as I've gone. I've been doing this work for 40 years, and that's who I see really has the most success.
And I really appreciate everything you said, and I just want to just piggyback onto that and say, because in my work, and I work with a lot of clients all over the globe, and I hear people say that they want to make money, and if I always say to them, the sooner you stop chasing money and begin chasing meaning, you're going to have a significant transformation in your life.
I agree.
Because it's not about the money, it's about the meaning. You've got to have purpose, and people just, they don't get that. I wish they would, but they just don't get it.
Yeah, once you have a purpose, this is so true. When you find people that are passionate about a purpose, whether it's Lynn Twist, who was passionate about the Hunger Project, and later the Pachamama Alliance, who has affected literally hundreds of millions of lives around the planet, or a Mandela who wants to end apartheid, or a Gandhi who wants to bring, you know, get the British out of India, or someone on your local neighborhood who just wants to get all the cats neutered, you know. When you have that purpose and you're passionate about it, the world moves out of your way. And so if you're not in touch with your purpose, you know, read my book, take a seminar, go to someone else's seminar, do whatever it takes, get in touch with that. And one of the quick ways is to do what I call a joy review. Go back over your life and say, when was I the most happy? And then look at what were the common denominators. One of my students, Julie Lapley, that I write about in the Success Principles book, she was going to, she loved animals, and she went to Ohio State University thinking she was going to become a veterinarian. And when she got to the university, she started studying things like anatomy, and they were, you know, dissecting frogs and biochemistry, and she hated it. And she said, I love animals. I just don't think I want to be their healers. And she said, she was miserable, and she said, when was I happy? And she went back and she remembered every time she was in a leadership position, whether it was in the Girl Scouts or in high school or even in college, she was chaperone for the state leadership conventions when the high school kids would all come into Columbus, Ohio. And she said, I realized I love leadership. And so she ended up creating her own degree program in leadership by combining things from psychology, communication, and so forth, and graduated with the first leadership degree from Ohio State. At the age of 26, she was teaching leadership at the Pentagon to people that were high-ranking military officers. So, and to this day, she was elected. She was selected Miss Virginia. She started a foundation to teach leadership to girls. One of the most happy, productive, wealthy, abundant, prosperous people you ever meet.
Awesome, awesome. And I see on your website where you have a seminar coming up, Breakthrough to Success.
Mm-hmm.
And where is that going to be held? Talk a little bit about that so our listeners can.
Sure.
And then there's another one coming up in September, too.
Yeah, I only do one Breakthrough to Success seminar a year because I'm mostly working inside corporations and in, some public seminars I do overseas right now. And it's August 5th to 9th. It's in Tucson, Arizona, which is hot in August, but we're inside all day. But the cool part is because it's hot, we get amazing room rates at a Ritz-Carlton hotel. It's only $95 a day. And these are rooms that normally rent out for $375. And what we do is we're going to help people break through the kind of blocks that we just talked about. We help them get in touch with what their purpose is, what their vision is, their ideal life looks like. And you leave with an action plan, a support group, and an accountability partner to help you actualize that plan over the next year. And we've had people lose 60 pounds, double and triple their income. One woman's a yoga teacher. She made her yearly income, her monthly income, in 1 year. She was making $50,000 a year. A year later, she was making $500,000 a year because she started creating yoga DVDs and got on PBS and became a national star because she broke through some of the limiting beliefs she had about what you could do with yoga. And so people build companies. They get out of terrible relationships. They heal relationships. We work on every aspect of your life so it's more successful.
Awesome. So please go to Jack's website. It's jackcanfield.com. That's his name, JACKCANFIELD.com. All the information is there about his books and his upcoming seminars and just about everything that you need to know about Mr. Jack Canfield. So, Mr. Jack Canfield, we thank you so much for your words of wisdom. And if you could just close us out with the final words of wisdom for our listeners and take us out tonight, because we really, really, really are going to look forward to everything that you have coming up, and I want my listeners to visit your website, which I'm sure they will. So can you just give us some final words, final thoughts?
I think that everybody has the capacity to achieve any dream that you want. You're not allowed to have the dream if you don't have the capacity to make it happen. So you need to start believing that. With all the breakthroughs we now have in neuroscience and psychology and healing and so forth, there's no reason not to have anything at all that you can dream up that you would like to have happen in the world, from world peace all the way down to the brand new car you'd like to have. So trust that, believe that. I would encourage you to read my book, The Success Principles. Take a seminar with me if you can. If you can't, listen to one of the audio programs and learn a system for success, because you deserve to have everything you want.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Mr. Jack Canfield. I appreciate all of your knowledge, all of your insight, all of the information that you help my listeners with. You're going to make a world of difference with my listeners. We thank our guests this evening, and we ask you to join us next week for another episode of Living by Design. I'm Kathy Holloway Hill, and we're going to be signing off for now, and we'll see you same time next week here on the Living by Design Show. Good evening, everyone.